This program is brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
The blood of Jesus has done things for us, and we just return back to the old way of doing it. The blood of Jesus has delivered us, and we return back to our self-preservation. And we count the blood of Jesus worthless. We don't see it as very special.
Creflo Dollar Ministries TV app brings you live church services direct to your smart TV and much more. You'll also get access to Changing Your World Network, streaming grace messages and exclusive content 24 hours a day right in the app. Get unlimited streaming through Roku, Amazon, and Apple TV absolutely free. Visit your app store. Download the Creflo Dollar Ministries TV app now to start streaming. For more information, visit CreflodollarMinistries.org.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Oh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
God fellowships with you based on your faith in Christ alone. Based on your faith in Christ alone. It's not God who's backing off of the relationship. Just like in the Garden of Eden, God still showed up to have fellowship with them. They were in hiding. God still showed up to talk to Adam and Eve. They went and hid. And so likewise, God fellowships with us based on our faith in Jesus Christ. And even though you're in a bunch of mess, He's still going to show up. The problem is the condemnation drives you away and you're hiding from God because of the shame. God's always going to show up. And I tell you, here's the confidence that you have in God. When you have this kind of confidence in God and you don't allow yourself to be condemned in your heart, and you know that God's greater than your heart, then even when you do stupid stuff and crazy things, you still show up because you know your best chance of getting help is to spend time and have fellowship with Him. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. So if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. He says the old things have passed away and the new thing, all things have become new. So when you get in Christ, you lose that old sinful man and you've got a new creation. And that new creation is designed to produce new fruit in your life. But sometimes we just don't renew our mind with the Word. We keep thinking the same way. And we don't produce that new fruit when we have the root to produce that new fruit. We just maintain all the old fruit, and that old fruit begins to spoil because you've got a new creation on the inside of you. And so Scripture doesn't teach, and listen to this, I don't want to get too far into this, but Scripture doesn't teach once saved, always saved. There are several places to discuss the possibility that discusses the possibility of a reprobate and a mind and losing your salvation. Now, I just want to show you the Scripture, and we'll do a separate teaching on this one day, but Hebrews 6, verse 4 and 6, it's just almost impossible for a Christian to lose his salvation. Unless you get in a position where you allow your actions to continue to harden your heart, and then one day you get to the point, and I have met people who have decided, well, I don't want to have anything else to do with God. I'm tired of fighting this demon. I'm just tired of it. And their heart, it gets harder and harder and harder and calloused to the point where there's no relationship. That's not because God left you. It's just you just kind of renounced your relationship. And eventually you will say, well, I don't even believe there's a God. Man, there's a lot of that going on right now. There are people who used to believe in God who now say, I don't even believe there's a God. I used to believe in God. I used to be in church. I used to do all those things, but I don't believe that no more. Wow. But even then, you have to really qualify to fall back. Look at this, Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6. Yeah, this Scripture is going to show us that you can't sin your salvation away but you might be able to renounce it if you do what I just explained. Rejecting your faith isn't easily done, but it's possible. And I don't believe that there are very many people who do fall away. I think it's just so hard to be able to do that according to this scripture. Now, look what he says in verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, for them to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. You know what he's saying here? He says before you can even think about going back like that and renouncing God, you got to first of all have tasted of the good word. You got to have revelation flowing within you. You got to have, you know, the Holy Spirit gifts operating in you. A lot of that, a lot of people just don't have in full operation. God's trying to make it very difficult for you to renounce him or to cast him away because, you know, you might think, well, I renounce God. And God, Lord, God knows you're too immature to renounce him. He's like, you're not even a mature Christian to do that. I ain't even paying you no attention. You'll be all right. You know, I did that one time over a little silly thing. I thought, well, this guy told me that, you know, because I did this, then I'm not going to heaven and God don't want to have nothing to do with me. I'm like, well, fine, then I quit. I'll just go in the world and have a good time. And I read this and I thought, oh, I have renounced God and I've fallen away from God. And then I start reading and I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not even maturing. I've not even matured into those things. So, you know, God forgave me and praise God. And we went on. We did what we need to do. But before someone would ever renounce so great a salvation, they would have to become hardened toward God. Now, think about that. So the enemy's thing is, how can I harden your heart? Ultimately, to try to get you to renounce God. And there are a lot of people who have hardened hearts right now, but they still don't qualify. This is so awesome. God's so full of love. Look at Hebrews chapter 3, 13 and 14. Satan is trying to harden your heart. Satan's trying to get you mad at God. I'm mad at God because this person died. I'm mad at God because I lost my job. I'm mad at God because he didn't answer the prayer that I wanted to answer. I'm mad at God because he won't do what I asked him to do. I'm mad at God because I'm not successful like I thought I would be successful. Ain't no Jesus Christ. Ain't no such thing as no God, no heaven. And then you start listening to all that other junk. All of it is designed to get you to be so hardened in your heart that you just renounce God. Look what he says in verse 13 and verse 14. He says, but I exhort one another daily while it is called today, but any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. And so you see in Scripture that there is some deceitfulness of sin that's designed to harden your heart. Do you know anybody who's right now hardening their heart? That, you know, they just don't see why they need to be tuning in, listening to no message, and, you know, I got better things I need to do. That's what this whole period is about. It's a big testing time to see who's really in this thing or who may be in it for the wrong reasons. And that's why I'm saying you've got to be saved for the right reasons. You got to be in it for the essence of the relationship. I'm in it for the relationships, not what he can do for me. I can't tell you the number of people who used to be in church, people who used to be Christians, people who used to love God, people who used to believe when God said don't do a certain thing, but now they're like, forget all of that. I'm going to do what I want to do. This is my life. I'm going to live it the way I want to live it. I only get one chance. Listen, you don't want to harden your heart. Jesus is coming back. You know what I'm saying? He's coming back. And right now, I'm sure everything looks like it's okay to harden your heart and be mad at God and be upset with the only one that can help you. You're mad at the only one who can help you, the only one who can save you, the only one who can deliver you. You're mad because you're surrounded by a bunch of people whose heart has been hardened towards God because sin deceived them, the deceitfulness of sin. And although your spirit is unaffected by sin, your body and your soul are. Sin dulls your perception. Sin dulls your wisdom, and it dulls your understanding of who you are in the spirit. And if you persist in sin far and long, just keep doing it, far and long enough, you can come to a place where Satan will try to make you renounce your faith in Christ. And that's what he's after. That brings the devil greater joy than anything. Let me see if I can get that Christian that used to praise God in church, that used to shout unto God with a voice of triumph, that used to be on the soul winning team and would witness to people all the time, that used to do all of these godly things because they believed God. He says, yeah, I got them to renounce God. Very difficult to do because, like I said, you've got to meet all the qualifications in Hebrews chapter 6, 4 through 6. And for the first part, most of the people who do that are just spiritually immature babies, and they don't even qualify. And God's now working to help them to mature and to understand things that they don't understand. Let me show you something, because it's impossible. You need Jesus. You're going to need Jesus to get out of this dilemma. You're going to need Jesus to overcome sin. You can't do it with just your performance. Let me show you something in John 15 and 2. This is so misinterpreted, and we're going to deal with it right now. John 15 and 2. I'm sure you heard of the scripture. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, underline this next word, these next three words, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So on one hand, he says, if you're not bearing fruit, he's going to take you away. That sounds to me like, what is he going to do, kill me? He says, if you do bear fruit, he's going to purge you. Now, at first glance, this scripture seems to say that unless you bear fruit, you will be cut off from Jesus. Now, the problem is, if I'm cut off from Jesus, I'm no longer can be saved. So let's look at the phrase where he says, you shall be cut off. This phrase, take away or cut off, the Greek word here, and I'm going to show you that I actually went to get it, is the word air, A-I-R-O, air-O, arrow. It's a Greek word that they use for the phrase take away or cut off. Now, in your Strong's Concordance, number 142, he says it means to bear away. It means to take away. It means to carry off. It means to lift from the ground. The message of the Bible in context, if you want to really define, let the context define even this phrase cut off. The message of the Bible in Romans 14 and Romans 15 says that the strong should bear or shall carry the weight of the weak. So you get the idea in context what he's talking about, that the strong bears the infirmities of the weak. The strong doesn't cut them off from themselves. The strong says, no, I got your back. The strong says, I'm going to carry you until you can bear fruit. The strong says that if you're weak, I'm going to be your strength for you. That's in context exactly what he is saying here when he talks about being cut off. He says, those that don't bear fruit, he says, I will bear you up, cut off. I will lift you up, cut off. I will take care of you. I got your back. That's what, you know, that's not the heart of God that says if you don't bear fruit, he's just going to cut you off. I'm going to cut you off and I'm through with you. You know that's not the heart of God. The heart of God is if you don't bear fruit, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bear you up until you do. Glory to God. I don't know why you ain't not bearing fruit, but I'm going to be there until you do. My God, the strong is going to bear the infirmities of the weak. But we have taught this thing that, you know, if you're not bearing fruit, God's going to cut you off and he's going to be done with you. And that is not the heart of God. That's not even the meaning of what he is saying here. He's talking about holding you up, bearing you up, just exactly what he talked about in Romans 14, 15, that the strong bear the infirmities of the weak. And so that's the first part of this scripture. The second part of this scripture in John 15, 2, where he talks about, and if you do bear fruit, this is so good. If you do bear fruit, I'm going to purge you, or I'm going to prune you. And I believe that much of this pruning is removing the religion and the mixture from our lives so that the gospel of Christ can do its full work in and through us. Now, I felt like God really spoke to me on this, and it really gave me some answers, because I used to ask him, I said, well, before I understood the grace of God, I got some results. I got fruit. Before I understood the grace of God, I'd mix some of the law and grace, and I was in religion, but I still saw some fruit. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the people who have been in church all their life and they've done things and they saw some fruit. He says, all right, I'm going to prune you. I'm going to purge you. I'm going to get the religion out of you, and I'm going to get the mixture out of you, and I'm going to teach and train you in what grace is all about, and you're going to have better fruit. You're going to have more fruit. Oh, and I know that's the truth. Because things in my life mature and they're manifesting at such a better level now than they were, you know, 20, 30 years ago when I didn't know the difference between law and grace. I didn't understand the grace and mercy of God. I didn't know the gospel of grace. So I put a little law with a little grace, and it was, I guess it was just the mercy of God that allowed me to bear some fruit. There were some things that I did and I believed God for, and it happened, and I bore some fruit. And I mean, I guarantee I have evidence of the fruit that I bore. But now that God has purged those things from me, I now can bring forth more fruit. I can bring forth a fullness in my life that I've never seen before. That really blessed me. I always had that question. Well, how come, Lord, if it was so bad, why did I see some areas where it worked? Yeah, it did work. I allowed some fruit to come. But now I'm going to purge you so you can bring forth much more fruit. Praise God. You see what I'm saying? See how important it is for us to get into the Word, find out what the Word says, so you're not misled by somebody's comments, somebody saying something they don't even know what they're talking about, somebody telling you that, and it brings condemnation. It's like, yeah, well, if you sin, you ain't saved no more. It's almost like, you too. So who do you think you are? How do you tell me that and not tell yourself that? Because here's the deal. All of us got to have Jesus, because everybody in your house got an issue. Everybody. And so we all need Jesus because we all have issues. The only way we get out of our issues is through Christ. We don't get out of our issues through, you know, life coaches and self-coaching and all that other stuff. No. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. Self-help doesn't help. You think it helps because you get some results, but like I say, you need to be purged, and you can bring forth much more fruit. And if you start believing Jesus and getting under this grace of God, you can bring forth much more fruit. Let me show you something else. Hebrews chapter 10, because most of this goes under the heading of unbelief. Most of the stuff that people misinterpret and get in religion, it goes under the heading of unbelief. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and 26, and I'll show you these things real quickly. Hebrews chapter 10, 26, he says, for if we sin willfully, underline sin willfully. First of all, let's talk about that, sin willfully. Is he talking about, you slapped this lady in the store and you went to your priest and you said, oh, I sinned. I slapped this lady in the store. And he asked you, well, did you slap her willfully or was it a mistake? See how crazy that is? All sin is willful. All sin is an act of your will. There is no sin that is not a sin that's act of your will. In other words, that's not what this these two words mean. It doesn't mean, oh, I decided to do it. Now, it's one thing if I made a mistake to do it because I was mad and I just kind of made a mistake to do it. No, you're deceiving yourself. You're trying to change the rules again. You're trying to change the rules again so you can preserve what you do. First of all, that's not what he's talking about here. He says, for if we sin willfully, when? After that we have received the knowledge of the truth. So this willful sin has to do something with the truth that we received in the previous verse of Scriptures. He says, there remaineth no more sacrifices for sins if you don't receive the knowledge of the truth. Well, what was the knowledge of the truth? Well, if you back up in the book of Hebrews and you start reading, let me give these verses to you. I've taught this before, but we need to mention it again. In Hebrews chapter 10, I'm going to give you the exact scriptures that you need to read so that you can bring it into context. All right, the context, every verse of Scripture is defined by the context that it is found in. You define verse 26 by allowing the context to tell you what verse 26 is about, okay? So we're going to define verse 26 by looking at verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body has thou prepared. So he's talking about the sacrifice and the offering of the body of Jesus. Then verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So he's talking about the body of Jesus Christ being that sacrifice. Verse 11, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, those animal sacrifices, which can never take away sins. So all of the animal sacrifices that the priest is offering, it can never take away sins. Verse 18, where remission of sin is, there is no more offering for sin. So Jesus's body and the remission of sin, there's no more offering for sin, not animal offerings. And then you go to verse 26, for if we sin willfully. So what is the willful sin? Rejecting Jesus as the final and the only sacrifice of sin. The willful sin is rejecting Jesus as the final sacrifice and the only sacrifice for sin. He says, for if we now sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge that Jesus' body is the final sacrifice for sin and there is no more need for other sacrifices. He says, if you don't believe that, then there is no more sacrifices for sin. If you don't believe the only one sacrifice for sin. You see what I'm saying? You got all these people who say they know God. You got all these people who say, well, praise God, I go to church and I know Jesus. And we still don't know how to read the Bible right. And only God knows how many people are walking in such deception because we don't know things like if you're going to define verse 26, you got to go back and read the beginning of the chapter so you can get the context, and the context defines the verse of Scripture. We've been taught to define it like this. Let's go see what that Greek word means. And let's go see what that Greek word means. And then we tell you all the Greek words and say all these Greek words that don't nobody know what you're talking about and still don't know what it means. And there's in some cases, even when you define a Greek word, but you don't allow the context to give definition of the verse, you still don't come up with the right interpretation. Are you listening to what I'm saying? This is so, so very important. So, let me see. When the sin of not believing in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, and according to the context, we can see that specific sin was to renounce faith in Jesus Christ and return to the sacrifices of the old covenant. And they counted the blood of Jesus as nothing special, basically. And they returned to the sacrifices of animals' blood.
Have you found yourself in a cycle of continuously sinning? Do you constantly deal with condemnation and fear? Creflo Dollar takes a revealing look at where sin comes from and how to overcome it in his five-message series, The Roots of Sinful Behavior.
Cycles of sin develop because of self-condemnation. If you allow your bad behavior to define who you are, then you're never going to get out of that. You're the righteousness of God that misbehaves. But that misbehavior does not identify your identity. And if you can hold on to your identity in Christ, you will get over and have victory over the cycle of sinful behavior.
Call the number on your screen or visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org and click eStore right now to get your series for a love gift of $30 plus shipping and handling. Don't miss out. Get yours today.
Get equipped to transform your life. At Grace Life 2021, it's more than a conference. It's wisdom, knowledge, and revelation to go to the next level in your walk with Christ. Hear from powerful speakers.
I'm telling you, when the grace and the favor of God gets on your life, it will promote you.
Under grace, it's about what God does for you. It's what God has done for you, what He's done and what He does for you, and your faith reaches out and takes a hold of it, and the devil can't win.
And so much more. Break the mundane routine at Grace Life 2021. Streaming online worldwide, July 15th through the 16th. Learn more at gracelife-conference.org and register now by texting GRACELIFE to 51555. This is an experience that you don't want to miss.
Creflo Dollar Global Missions helps people all over the world receive healing and wholeness in every area of life. For example, we help those in need in our communities, those trapped in the sex entertainment industry, and children in orphanages and refugee camps. When we meet the physical needs of those hurting people, it gives us the opportunity to share the gospel of grace with them. So I want to thank you for helping us reach millions with the gospel.
Log on to our website at missions.creflodollarministries.org to see all the work we do at Creflo Dollar Global Missions. Thank you for your support.
Get your daily dose of grace on the Changing Your World podcast with Creflo Dollar. Keep the Word of God at the forefront of your mind every day when you download and stream these uplifting messages. Gain a revelation of the fullness of God's grace from Creflo Dollar's powerful sermons and transform into the powerful, victorious believer God made you to be.
He will always take our brokenness, I believe, and He will bring new life and He will bring beauty from it.
But thank God for the Word, because it has the ability in and of itself to repair.
With the Changing Your World podcast, you have encouraging and life-changing wisdom at your fingertips 24/7. Tune in whenever you need to be edified, no matter where you are. Subscribe to Changing Your World podcast with Creflo Dollar today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcast platform.
Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe.